Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. That's me. And let's see what we want to play. Maybe we play, just play Luther. You know, I've been in the mood for love. Thank you for tuning in. This is Luther Vandross with The World News Now.
Another mountain.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram, also known as Lady J, Lady Love. That's me, and that's Luther Vandross right here on The Love Journey. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. You know, it's interesting. This morning as I got up to, and every morning I put in these tags on the Blog Talk Radio, right? And I decided to, you know, pay attention to how many people have Googled certain words. So I think I put about maybe 12 words up. And the top four words, and I'll start from the bottom four. Believe it or not, money was number four. Relationship was number three. Spirituality was number two. And guess what was number one? The number one most searched out word was love. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not saying that's the number one search out word in all the words, but all the words that I had searched out, love was over the top. It wasn't even close to, you know, relationships and spirituality was like in the hundreds of thousands. Love was over the top. And I was like, wow, I wonder. I said, you know, maybe I'll talk about love today. Let's talk about love. What the world needs now. All right, let's go in into stillness, inviting the present. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And as we become still, honoring the stillness, moving from our head into our heart. Knowing that I am, you are, God is. just inviting the presence. And in this right now moment, I want you to become very intentional about the breath. Breathing in all of God's love. By taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Release the breath and remember to breathe into the diaphragm and into the heart, deep into the heart. Remembering, A Course in Miracles says in Lesson 258, our only job is God. Our only job is God. Remembering there's power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And so in this right now moment, I just want you to breathe. By taking in that breath. But before you breathe, I just want you to honor the presence call you by giving thanks for who you are and how you show up on the planet. I just want you to say, thank you, God. From the top of your head. Thanking God for who you are. And in this right now moment, just loving you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Loving you. Recognizing that there's nothing more important than loving you. And so now I just want you to be still. Come into the oneness. Be still. Know that I am God. Just breathe, family. And release. There's power in the breath. Be still and know that I am God. Just breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am. You are. God is. Let's breathe, family. And release. Come, Holy Spirit. In this right now moment, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Come and fill every cell in my body with light right now, God. Renewing the right spirit, creating me a new heart, God. Renew the right spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. As I come before you today, I ask you to release any unforgiveness, any memories, any data. Anything in my consciousness that reminds me of anything other than the truth, I ask it to be removed right now. As I come empty this morning to be filled by your presence, God, to be filled by your holy, energetic expression of me, to be overflowing with your love for me right now, God, that every word I speak and every meditation of my heart be more than acceptable to my beloved I am presence, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to my mind, to my heart, and to my soul. Somebody needs you this morning. Somebody desires to know more of you this morning, God. I ask you to come into this right now. I ask you to bless each and every person under the soul of under the sound of my mouth right now, God. I'm asking you to bless their relationships, God. I'm asking you to bless their children right now, God. I'm asking you to bless their parents right now, God. I'm asking you to bless their homes, their money, their careers, their love, their happiness, their joy. I'm asking you to touch every area of their life, God. And in this right now moment, God, I ask you to come. Come into this call and be the wind beneath our wings. Thank you for expanding the territory of the love journey. Thank you for the growth and expansion, God. Thank you for life, love, joy, and happiness. Thank you, God. Somebody needs you today, God. Somebody need to know who you are in them right now. And as we move into the energy of all that you are in us, specifically our finances, we ask you to amplify, spiritualize, and multiply our abundance right now, God. As we grow in our relationship, I thank you for all the testimonies that's been coming in with the work we've been doing together collectively, God, because there's power in collective energy, God. There's power in the mind coming together as one. And so we thank you for all the divine idea minds on this line right now, God. Come, Holy Spirit. As we give thanks for our presence on this planet this morning. Thank you, God.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, Every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into
alignment
with the perfect peace
of
God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind
I am
into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship
with money. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now we do our Master of Money prayer treatment with Reverend Ike. And you know, Reverend Ike is a different energy, so prepare yourself as we move into the energy of Reverend Ike.
Let's get rid of all the money hang-ups. I'll tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about 3 good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup.
Cup, run it over.
Run it over. And just repeat this with me. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
I open my mind to all the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
You see, I deserve it all.
God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
God wants me to have all of
it. It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
It is God's good pleasure to give me all the goodness of life.
All of the riches of life.
All of the riches.
Health,
of
happiness,
life.
Love.
Health, happiness,
success,
and
prosperity, and money.
Success, prosperity, and
I totally open my mind to the flow.
I totally open my mind to the flow.
With no reservations.
With no reservations.
I opened my mind to money.
I opened my mind
the
to
the being,
money.
Doing, having power of the mind.
The being, doing, having power of the mind.
The being,
mind.
Doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of the God.
This
in
is
me.
Real money.
See, this is real money.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
That I need and want.
That I ever need, want, and desire, yes.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your 2 outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the 3rd eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I now enter into the theater of my mind.
And I see myself.
I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself how I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a happy person.
Ooh, I see myself,
I
as,
see
a
myself
happy person.
As a loving person.
I see myself as a
I
loving
I see myself person. As a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, process.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money. I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have more than enough money for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with stocks.
Certificates of deposit.
Certificates of deposit.
A big investment portfolio.
A big investment portfolio.
I see myself having money making money.
I see myself having money making money.
Money making money.
Money making
money. Money making money.
Money making money.
It feels wonderful. It feels good. I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
Thank you, God, in me.
Thank you, God, in me.
For money and all of the goodness of life.
And all of the goodness of life.
Now open your eyes slowly. Come back. And in closing, I say health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, and a whole lot of money go with you. Amen.
I don't know why I like when he said that. And a whole lot of money go with you. The other thing I like when he said money making money. Money making money. Money making money. I love me. Absolutely love me some Reverend Ike. I have always, since I was a little girl, loved Reverend Ike. When I was sitting at his feet in Dr. Johnny Coleman's church, I loved me some Reverend Ike. They call me the Reverend Ike-ess. I might be a Ike-ess, huh, y'all? A Reverend Ike-ess. All right, we're going to go right into our own money blessing that was given to us by Harry L. Reed from Unity Village. Somebody called me yesterday and asked me about the content of our information that I shared. And it's like, well, if you're new thought, why do you talk about Christianity, or why you go into the Quran? Because, you know, I've grown into a space where it doesn't really matter what we call this beautiful energy. God, Allah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, you know, it's so many names of God. I'm going to tell you what's more important than the name of God. It's the nature of God, the nature of who you feel God is in your heart and how you experience God. You see, when you open your mind to more than anything you can ever read or hear and let the Spirit minister to you. I remember one time when I was getting on this prayer line, and then it was very more different. It's kind of, the setup was different. People would get on, good morning, and there's minister such and such. Good morning, minister. One day I got up and it was like 30 ministers on the line. I didn't even go to church. I barely read the Bible. How in the world did I get caught up on this line telling somebody about God? And all these ministers was on the line. I promise you, it was about 50 ministers that morning. I got off the line. I said, God, I don't know why you got me doing this, but you know I don't know nothing about that Bible like that. You know what God said? How did you get to know your husband? Did you read a book? I said, no. I spent time. He said, do you think a book can really give you the fullness of who I am? And I'm not talking about just the Bible. I'm talking about any book. The Quran, the Torah, any book. There's so much more to the vastness of this powerful, beautiful, energetic expression. That words, I can see why people get mad about words when we call God, God, or Allah. Because even those names limit the idea of what this energy is. But because of our human understanding, we need names and labels. But God is so much more vast than even the name of God. And it's interesting because when I first started the line, I didn't even know that I could, that it was, you know, I just couldn't imagine that God was even more awesome than the awesome that I thought. Now when people, now when I think about God, I don't even, it's just quantum. It's no words to explain. And I think to myself, if it gets any better than this, if knowing God, is experiencing God any better than this, I don't even know if it could even be called heaven. It's just amazing when you get the knowledge and then, you know, it's different when you intellectualize something. When you intellectualize the knowledge of God, you know, you really don't get to experience the tools and how you can be a great manifester, how you can be live a great life, because you're too busy in your head intellectualizing the understanding of God. You may memorize scriptures. You may know scripture. I know a lot of people who can quote scriptures like the back of their hand. But to experience God is to be able to demonstrate the understanding of who you are as the image and likeness of God. And that's the real journey on the planet. The real journey on the planet is to be able to express the image of God as you on the planet. I know I'm going on a tangent now this morning. Let's get right into this beautiful money blessing. And then we're going to talk about love today. And let me tell you why I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to tell you why we're going to talk about love. Let's get back into the energy and the flow of understanding that money is just another expression of God. Everything is energy. And we have the power to magnetize and receive all of God's goodness, even in money, in any area of our life. It doesn't have to be money. I know we've been doing a money series, but it doesn't matter what area of your life you may be experiencing a belief in lack. But you have the power to shift it. You are a powerful being. You're beautiful and magnificent. And in this right now moment, I want you to own your power as a magnificent being, created to create, a master of your gifts and talents. And as we bless the idea of our money substance in all form, I just want you to realize that you are money. I am money. I am the money consciousness of God. And so as we center our mind on the idea of experiencing the goodness of this beautiful energy called money, there can never be any lack, especially in the black, right? Black, when your money is in the black, that means you're overflowing. Don't let nobody put in your mind the negative connotation of black. Because when your money is in the black, there's no lack. I like that. When your money is in the black, there's no lack. All right, family, let's pray. This is a beautiful prayer by Harry L. Reid, given to us again by Unity Village. It's called a money blessing. And so as you center your mind on all your money substance in all forms, your bank accounts, your stocks, your bonds, your certificates of deposits, your wallets, your purses, your pockets, your socks, under your bed, wherever your millions and billions and millions and billions of stash, I just want you to give thanks. Lord, Mother, Father, God, in this right now moment, I give thanks for money, this symbol of your love and bounty and silver, gold, and paper too, for God, for plenty. I thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless the contents of all my money forms, which with wisdom I disperse, we disperse. Father, Mother God, let us be a steward so true, sharing good just as you do. Oh, Holy Father, bless this money substance. Oh, Mother God, bless this substance by your word of spoken thanks forever heard. Bless it right now for its use that is gladly shared without abuse. Lord, I thank you for this money, this symbol of your love and your bounty. Divine love, bless. Blesses all of our money substance in all forms and keep it abundantly filled as we open it both to give and to receive, asking you right now, God, that the contents of this purse be so blessed that even the blessed will call us blessed, God. Not only will we be a blessing to ourselves and our community, but we can be a make a financial significant blessing to those around us. We give thanks that we have the opportunity to express wisdom, love, and great judgment in heaven and our financial resources. All to whom I give, I also express wisdom, love, and great judgment. Father, Mother God, I give thanks that you give us this day our daily bread, more than enough right now, God. Right now, God. Right now, God. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Ooh, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to talk about I got a lot of favorite subjects, but this morning we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects called love. So this morning I was putting in my tags, my Google Analytics, and I said, I wonder what is the most searched out word out of all the words I use. So I had spirituality, success, money habits, inspiration. I had lots of words in there. Relationships, spirituality, and money was number four. Relationships was number three. Spirituality was number two. But guess what number one is? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that we just too little love. All right, it was love, baby. It was love. And I said, wow. People was searching love out more than money, searching love out more than relationships, searching love out even more than God. Even though God was too in terms of spirituality. I thought to myself, what an interesting analytic this morning. And so I said, I wanted to talk about love. It because when I think of love, I remember when we started this money series a few weeks ago because somebody called, a couple of people called, they were going through many things and it happened to be in a financial process. And I thought about when I was sitting one day, I woke up November last year. I looked in the mirror, hair all over my head, looking at my skin, thinking, wow. I was thanking God for myself. I loved what I had accomplished up to that point, but it's something still felt like it was missing. So I asked God, why is there still some lack spaces? And God said, because you have a belief in lack. It's just that simple. You know, it's funny how God answers you in very simple terms. You know, well, why, God, why do people you know, minister this, minister that. I don't read it. God said, well, how did you get to know your husband? Did you read a book or did you? And I said, oh, spend time. Simple. When God check you, right? So I get checked again because I've been checked plenty of times by Spirit, right? So now I'm being checked. It's just that simple. You in lack because you believe in lack. Well, how do I believe in lack? But more importantly, how do I release the idea of this lack? Albert Einstein came to my mind. He said, you can't change a problem with the same mindset that created it. So if I wanted to change whatever situation that was going on in my life, I had to change the mindset that created it. Let me tell you, God checked me again. Spirit checked me again and said, November of 2018. He said, you know, you're getting spiritually lack. He said, I said, what you mean by that? Shit. You're in your comfort zone and it's time for you to move out your comfort zone. You're too comfortable. You're too comfortable. Yeah, you ain't making no real moves right now. You wake up and you do this. Everything you do like the back of your hand. It's time to move to the next level. But you got to let go of everything you thought you knew, even if it worked, in order to become who I got for you. And what that means, you know, this Bible scripture came to my mind. Behold, all things are new. Behold, all things are new. It's like, wow. I couldn't really put it all together then. I went silent. I went to Peru. I sat in the mountains and meditated with the shamans. It's all really coming together now. It's easy to get in routines and get into habits. But in order to move into the next level, you have to have a disruptor, something to disrupt the idea. It could be good. Everything can be good. It doesn't mean that it has to be bad for it to have to change. But change has to come because everything that lives on the planet has to have an evolution or it dies. And it evolves another, you know, well, I guess that's still, death is still another form of evolution. But it has to evolve. But there's one consistent thing that helps everything to evolve with a little more ease, elegance, and grace. Because as soon as you get out of a place, as soon as you're in the darkness, we're back into a place called fear and anxiety. And I've been experiencing a lot of fear and anxiety, which is really strange in my mind because I don't never remember being a fear or having this kind of fear and anxiety the way I've been having. I mean, I just like, wow. But what I come to understand is all the blessings and all the gifts and all the things that happen when you move into your new levels or even in your same comfort zone and you got fears, it doesn't matter. The only way to shift is to let go of what we thought we knew. I remember just laying in the sun, totally surrendering. It was like 70 degrees just a few weeks ago. It wasn't really a hot day, so I wanted to be in the sun because I was laying in the middle of Michigan Avenue and it had rained earlier, so you know it wasn't that, the grass wasn't that warm in the shade, so I wanted to make sure I was in the sun. But the sun, as I laid there with my eyes closed, I just said to God, help me to let go of what I think I know. Help me to let go of even the things that I know work. Help me to let go because your body shows you how you hold on to things. Like I could tell in my hands, like I hold my hands tight. Or I could feel the tension in my knees or thighs, especially my thighs, and in my buttocks area. So when I get a massage, I'll be needing somebody to do, ooh, take it, go deep in. Come on, get it in, get it in. And I was laying there and I said to myself, what is the answer? We don't have to live in fear. I know we've been taught that that we have to have fear. But if I'm a creator, I don't have to create fear. I can create life the way I want because I get to create it the way I want to create it. So if I don't want to have fear, I can get to create life without fear. I can get to create life without pain. And all of a sudden, the word love came to my mind again. And I started thinking about love from a cosmic perspective, as a cosmic phenomenon. Real love is selfless and free from fear. And so if we desire more money or relationships or whatever's happening in our life, we have to get in the vibration of love because love is the most powerful attractive factor on the planet. Let me tell you, I start thinking about relationships. I start thinking about one of my girlfriends who we used to grow up and we used to, ooh, man, I don't know how God put us two together. We used to have so much fun. And talking about a beautiful girl, I don't know, she must have stood in all the lines, hair, I mean, just the way she wore her hair, this short hairstyle was just cold, her face, her skin color, flawless. She was body flawless, just beautiful. But, of course, she didn't see herself that way. But we couldn't even walk down the street too much, and she stopped all the cars. She was just a beautiful girl. And we had a lot of fun. But I was thinking about, even today, the one thing that she always wanted is the one thing that always seemed to elude her was children and a husband. She dated some really amazing guys, but never was able to maintain a relationship and never birthed any children. And so we were talking not too long ago. She was in tears. And I started to think about why. If we creators, and I hear some people say, well, maybe love not for everybody, or maybe this is not for, you know, God is no respecter of person. So why is it that Oprah can have billions and this person can live in poverty? Why is it this person can have this and that? I don't think that it actually go like that. It's something about love, though, that when we get into a presence of understanding love, the true understanding of love, then we can manifest anything any way we want to manifest it. We get to create our life in a more amazing way. Love is God in manifestation, though. Love is just another synonymous word for God. So when you think about love, love is the highest vibratory energetic expression on the planet, which is the same thing. When we're in our God consciousness, we're in our highest vibratory energetic expression. It's the strongest magnetic force in the universe. It does not need to seek or demand. It's so amazing that you can't even manipulate love. It's so amazing that when love touches your soul, but as soon as you try to control it, it loses the very essence of who you are. It leaves the same way it came. Because love is such, this expression is such a vast, beautiful energy that if we don't understand it, it just elude us to slip right through our hands. Sometimes love makes us want to be selfish and tyrannical and fearful in its affection, thereby losing the very thing that we love. Jealousy is the worst enemy of love. Because the imagination runs riot, seeing the very one that we love attracted to another, or invariably these fears objectify if they're not neutralized. I remember Catherine Potter wrote, a woman came to me in deep distress. The man she loved had left her for another woman and said he had never intended to marry her. She was torn with jealousy and resentment and said she hoped he would suffer as he had made her suffer, and added, "How could he leave me when I loved him so much?" Catherine replied, "You are not loving that man. You are hating him," and added, "You can never receive what you have never given. You can never receive what you have never given. Give a perfect love and you will receive a perfect love. Perfect yourself on this man. Give him a perfect, unselfish love, demanding nothing in return. Do not criticize or condemn. Bless him wherever he is." She replied, "No, I won't." "You think I'm going to bless him? Only way I bless him, I have to know where he is." "Well," Catherine Ponder said, "that's not real love. When you send out real love will return to you, either from this man or its equivalent. For if this man is not the divine selection, you will not want him. As you are one with God, you are one with the love which belongs to you by divine right." Several months passed and matters remained about the same. But she started to work on her consciousness. Conscientiously with herself, she said, "When you are no longer disturbed by his cruelty, he will cease to be cruel, as you are attracting it through your own emotions." I told her of a brotherhood in India who never said good morning to each other. They use these words: "I salute the divinity in you." You see, they saluted the divine presence of God in each and every person, in the wild animals, in the jungle, and they were never harmed, for they only saw love and God in every living thing. I said to her, this is Catherine Ponder, "Salute the divinity in this man, and I say, I see your divine self only. I see you as only God sees you. I see you in the eyes of love, perfect, made in the image and likeness of all that God is." She found she was becoming more poised and gradually losing her resentment. He was a captain, and she always called him the captain. One day she said suddenly, she took a deep breath and said, "God bless the cap wherever he is." Catherine replied, "Now that's real love. And when you become a complete circle and are no longer disturbed by the situation, you will have his love or attract his equivalent." "I was moving at this time," she said, "and did not have a telephone," Catherine Ponder was saying. "So I was out of touch with her for a few weeks, when one morning I received a letter saying, 'We are married.'" "What?" "At the earliest opportunity, I paid her a call. My first words were, 'What happened?'" "Oh," she exclaimed, "a miracle. One day I woke up and all the suffering had ceased. I saw him that evening and he asked me to marry him. We were married in about a week and I have never seen a more devoted man." Come on, God. There's an old saying, "No man is your enemy, no man is your friend. Every man is your teacher." So one should become impersonal and learn what each person has to teach them, and soon they will learn the lessons and be free. You see, this woman's lover was teaching her selfless love, which each and every one of us sooner or later must learn. Now, this is what I wanted to read right here. "Suffering is not necessary." And I'm going to stop right there. I want you to breathe that in. Suffering is not necessary. Can I just tell you, a good majority of people are single or in bad relationships because of your conditioning? Did I just curse you out yet? As a transformational life coach, I've coached plenty of relationships. One of my favorite relationships, they doing so beautiful now. They live in Texas and got it going on. But let me tell you, and it wasn't a man's fault. And I tell you right now, this lady right here, she'll get on there, tell you her testimony too. She called me, and she just couldn't do right by this man. This man was a truck driver, paid all the bills, took care of the boys. She got two boys. It was a phenomenal man. He is a phenomenal man. But she wasn't right by him. She was messing around. She would stay out with her girlfriends and get drunk to the point of messing around with guys, and they would drop her off at the door. That's how bad she was acting. But he didn't want to leave his sons. I still love this guy to this day. He did not want to leave his sons. He wanted to be a man for his sons. I'm talking about a black man, yes, y'all. He wanted to, because he grew up without a father. And I saw the pain in his eyes, but he worked diligent through it. And so one day in our coaching practice, I asked, I said, why do you treat him this way? And he's a good guy. She said, I don't know. I said, what do you have against men? She said, I don't know. I said, let's talk about your father. She said, my father was a good guy. Well, how did your mother feel? She said, she hates men. She just hates them. She said, I don't know why. She said, I don't know what. I said, well, where did you learn to hate men from, like the way you do? And we sat in and we thought. I took her through her process, and she was just holding on to the pain that her mother had, to the point that the pain that her mother had became her pain, and she didn't even have that experience with men. And she was treating men terrible and then wanted to say it was the men's fault. And she had one of the best men on the planet. And now they have one of the most phenomenal relationships. And I'm not talking about, this man is a man's man. He drives trucks, muscles, fine, chocolate, everything. Why am I telling you this story? Because I get in groups of women all the time, and the first thing they want to say is what men ain't. And then when you attract exactly what you bring into your experience, because you've been saying this forever, 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 what men ain't. And then get mad because you created it. You don't like your relationship, you created it. You don't like what's happening, just like you created it, you can uncreate it. By just doing one simple thing, healing yourself. Yep, loving on yourself, healing yourself. I was talking to my daughter, she's 20-some years old, my youngest. She's a biomedical engineer. She's going to Northwestern for reproductive physiology. And, you know, she got all this intellectual knowledge. And, you know, sometimes she thinks she know more than me, and I laugh because she thinks she do. And she might know more than me in that stuff right there. But you can't outwit me. I told her, babe, let me tell you something. I may not have all that, but you got right there. But the one thing I got is the game of life. I got it down pat. Now, do I know everything? No, not at all. But I got enough to know how to create your life the way you want it. I said, and you sitting up here, all this stuff. Now, you sitting with the master right here with you, and you want to believe all this stuff your friend's telling you. And you've seen miracles in your life. You weren't supposed to be at no COVID. They told me not that they didn't want to accept your application. One, because we was late getting it in, because your teachers didn't want to let you go over at Morgan Park. They said the principal told the teachers, if any one of her teachers give her a recommendation letter, they were going to get fired. And we had to have recommendation letters from her current teachers in order for her to get in COVID. So one night I get a call from one of her teachers who took a chance. And she called me. She said, I'm going to be retiring soon. She said, but I don't want to see Asia not have the best opportunity for her life. And she put her job on the line. She's not a lady of color. She was not a lady of color. She was a white lady who said, I'm putting my job on the line, my everything. Even if, you know, if I get fired, that means I won't get whatever she said she won't get. But anyway, she said, so I need you not to tell anybody. And I got two more teachers who's going to do, because we needed three, who's willing to do the same. That wasn't nothing but God. We sent the package in, and we was too late to get a scholarship. They said I didn't make enough money for Asia to go there. I said, no. I said, I work too hard. We're going to have to figure out a way. They said, well, how you going to pay? I said, I'm going to pay. I don't know, but I'll be. And the man said, look, every time we put somebody in here who can't pay, we end up having to put them out. The school don't operate. It's not like that. You got to pay to be here. I said, well, I'm ready to pay to play. I'm going to be there. And he kept telling me they weren't going to accept the application. I said, no, that's unacceptable. Well, he said, try next year when you can get a scholarship. I said, if she goes to another high school right now, she's not going to want to go to Culver. And so by the time we got off the phone, he sent me the application. We were able to get her there. Now, I had to come up with $15,000 to get her in. Now, of course, I didn't have it in my physical presence at the moment. I was literally sitting in my office. I was the executive director for Chicago Housing Authority, a company that was contracted with Chicago Housing Authority. One of the people who worked under me said, you've been really quiet these last few weeks. What's going on? And I told him what was going on. He came back a few minutes later and said, I'm going to loan you five of it. Seth's going to give you seven, and Miss Knox's going to give you the rest. Three people gave me money. One person said it's a gift, and the other two people said it's a loan. And all I did was sit there and think of love. That was it. I know that I came to express all of my goodness. And I just sat there and closed my eyes and just got in the vibration of love, because love is the most attracting, powerful energy on the force on this planet. But you know what it is? Whether we want to believe it or not, it's so easy to stay in fear. I said this the other day, and I said this to my children the other day too. We so inundated. Oh, what the world's going on. Oh, what the world's going on. I was watching something, and I started thinking about what is that? Or the movie Do the Right Thing. You know how the guy in the Do the Right Thing was got killed by the police in New York, but it was a true story that really happened when Spike Lee was a kid. And I said, start thinking about all the things that Spike Lee talked about. It's the same thing that's still happening today. The difference was we didn't know because we didn't have real-time news like we do today. Like, I was a kid growing up in South Shore. There were serial killers, something going on in the community, killing the prostitutes and all that stuff. And these women were found dead, and they had these experiments where they were doing young men and killing them. I said, but we didn't have real-time news, so we didn't live in fear. We had drive-by shootings and stuff, gang stuff going on, but we didn't live in fear the way we live in fear today, because we didn't see it the way we see it today. We didn't, because the news didn't get, like, by the time it got to the news, something else might have been more important that it came out. But today, if you don't see it on the news, you see it on Facebook. If you walk down the street, people talking about it, and it's not more than it was then. It's just that it's more awareness of it. So it keeps us in more awareness. So because I was thinking, let me tell you why I'm telling you this story. A girl called me and she said, you know, she is in absolute devastation because her son just graduated from college and now he has a mental breakdown and now he's in a mental institution. And she was crying so, just like, oh my God. And like 20 other people literally from the prayer line this last few months have called me and said their kids are in the mental institution. Four of the women said it's just horrendous of how many young people are in these mental institutions who've having mental breakdowns. Now, some of the ladies who've had the experience before this even came up all said that do not put your children on that medicine that they do when you go into those mental breakdown places, because it takes the brain all the way out the box and it's hard to get it back. But the one thing that we need to do is to give the children vitamin B, magnesium, and something else, I forgot what they said, when you're having a nervous breakdown or you're having that mental breakdown. So I'm sharing this information with this one particular lady and showing her. I asked her, because this girl has had the same experience. Her child was in a mental institution for a long time. But when she started using alternative methods, he has not had that mental episode. And this marijuana, whatever they lace in the marijuana, the doctor said they have no facts on it yet, but they said whatever they lace in this marijuana with is causing these children to have a mental breakdown. But let me tell you what's really my point. So I was talking to a lot of young people the other day. I was asked to speak at a graduation luncheon, but it was kind of an intimate thing. So we were just having more of a dialogue. And so I was asking, talking to the children about the marijuana use, the mental breakdown. And one of the children said, it's the Facebook. I said, why do you say it's Facebook? Because we have this need to, seem like everybody got this good life, or we need to come, why are we not doing as good as the other person? And we compare ourselves and then we go through this anxiety. And then, she just went through a whole breakdown of what's causing these children to have, young people to really have this breakdown, this mental breakdown. I've never seen so many people with schizophrenia, bipolars, and all kind of stuff going on. Anxieties and all stuff. And so we were talking about it. I said, well, we're not taught what to do with our fears. Our fears are heightened now. And she was so intelligent with it. And I started to think, what if we just start to teach our kids from a very young age just simply how to love themselves the way they are in the right now moment? Instead of telling, oh, you look so cute. Oh, look at you with your pretty dress on. So that means if I don't have a pretty dress, I'm not pretty. Well, what if we just said, you're simply beautiful just because you are? And kept reminding them that they didn't need anything other than themselves in that right now moment. Not because they had on pretty dresses or sharp shoes or whatever we say to our children to make them think this is what beauty is. And I'm going to say I've been guilty of that too. Oh, you look so pretty. You look so pretty in your pretty dress. And so that makes you, it eventually children begin to associate that this is what makes me pretty. This is what I have to do to get appreciated. This is what I got to do to get your attention, because we have those attachments. But how do we get to the point? And so one of the things is we can't teach love if we don't live love. We cannot teach love if we don't live love. I know I might be on the soapbox today, but this has really been in my mind because so many people have been calling me about different things in terms of their lack, in terms of mental breakdowns, all the stuff that's going on. And the only way we can release any of that is by staying in the vibration of love. That means sometimes when you're feeling anxiety, you have to learn how to manage your own anxiety. Like, so many good things were happening to me yesterday, I had to just stop and I put on my peace meditation. I mean, literally everything I asked God for yesterday just simply showed up. Such in a way that I just said, I was like, wow. And I sat and turned off everything in the house, lit a candle, and just went and cut on a peace meditation to feel peace. Because every cell in my body was so excited, and I started feeling the anxiety, and then, so I had to relax my fears, relax my anxiety. And we can't teach our children how to manage their own anxiety and fears if we're constantly wound up in our own fears and anxiety, if we constantly wound up in seeing the physical manifestation of what's going on, we got to learn to see above. We have to see with God's eyes. We got to have a. We got to get into the truth of our being, that we are metaphysicians. And you really master it when you can see in the darkness and still know that God is, even when it's dark. I think about that relationship because this particular guy never gave up on his wife, no matter what was happening. I asked her why she wouldn't let love in, and she finally admitted that she never felt lovable. She didn't think she was deserving of love because she didn't think she was pretty. She didn't think she was beautiful. She didn't think she was amazing. But let me just tell you, even if you, she was a beautiful girl, I mean, but what if you're not beautiful? Do you not deserve love? What makes you think because you're beautiful, you deserve love? Everybody deserves love. It doesn't matter the level of beauty or not. I mean, I'm sure we all have our own beauty, but I'm just saying, even if I wasn't beautiful, I deserve love. Even if I didn't have no legs and no arms, I still deserve love. Because love doesn't come with an idea of what beauty is. So let me say this to you. She didn't fit the standard of what society says is beautiful. She was a heavier, thicker girl. She didn't have the skin color like what people think it is, what people say is this. She didn't have the size of it. Or maybe she didn't have a face like she think. But whatever it was, it didn't matter because all that matters is how you see yourself. But more importantly, you got somebody who see you in ways that you can't even see yourself. You deserve love. Romans tell us there's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from God's love. God's love. Not sin, if there's a such thing as sin, there's nothing you can do in your past, nothing you can have done that can ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I just want you to really think about what we're seeing and what we're feeling and what we're doing. Suffering is not it's not necessary for our growth and development. You see, really, suffering is a result of violation of spiritual law, and few of us seem to able to rouse ourselves from that soul sleep without it. Suffering is to wake you up, but you don't have to be awakened by suffering. And whenever I start thinking it's too good to be true, I let go. No, I can have a life without suffering. I can live life without pain. But for some reason, we've conditioned to believe we got to suffer and that we can't be waking from our soul sleep without it. But that's not true. Pain eventually comes because we won't learn without it. We usually suffer because of our lack of appreciation. Catherine Ponder talks about a woman who had a very nice husband. And she said often, I don't care about anything about being married, but that's nothing against my husband. I'm simply not interested in married life. She had other interests and scarcely remembered she had a husband. She only thought of him when she saw him. One day her husband told her he was in love with another woman. And he left. Oh, my gosh, he came to me in distress, Catherine. She came to Catherine, not me, in distress and resentment. I replied, this is exactly what you spoke the word for. You said you didn't care anything about being married. So the subconscious worked to get you unmarried. She said, oh, yes, I see people get what they want and then feel very much hurt. She soon became in perfect harmony with this situation and knew they both were much happier apart. When a woman becomes indifferent or critical and ceases to be an inspiration to her husband, he misses the stimulus of their early relationship and is restless and unhappy. A man came to me dejected, miserable, and poor. His wife was interested in the science of numbers and had him read. It seems the report was not very favorable for her. He said, my wife says I never amount to anything because I am a two. I replied, I don't care what your number is. You are a perfect idea in the divine mind. We will demand the success and prosperity which is already planned for you by the infinite intelligence. I love that. She said, I don't care what your number is. You are a perfect idea in divine mind. And we will demand, we're going to make a demand for the success and prosperity which is already planned for you by the infinite intelligence. Within a few weeks, he had a very fine position. A year or two later, he achieved a brilliant success as a writer. You see, no man is a success in business unless he loves his work. No woman is a success in her business unless they love their work. The picture the artist paints for love of their art is the greatest work. The pot boilers always something to live down. You see, no one can attract money if they despise it. No one can attract money if you despise it. Many people are kept in poverty by saying, money means nothing to me. I have a contempt for people who have it. This is the reason why so many people live in lack. A lot of artists believe in the idea of starving artists. Their contempt for money separates them from it. She said, I remember hearing an artist say of another, he's no good as an artist. He has money in the bank. And I know that to be true. I was talking to some artists the other day. And the way they despise capitalism. Let me just tell you, money is important to the development of our growth. When we can evolve to the level of the frequency to create more than enough, you've done a job right there, because that means you're released in your consciousness. The attitude and the belief that separates you from the truth. You see, the attitude of our mind separates us from our supply. We must be in harmony with the thing in order to attract it. Let me say that again. In order to attract, we must be in harmony with the thing that we want to attract in order to attract it. Money is just God in manifestation. Come on, say it with me. Money is just God in manifestation. Money is love in manifestation. When we become freedom, when we get into a place of freedom from want and limitation, that's a powerful place. But you got to understand, it always have to be kept in circulation to put it to right use. Hoarding and saving reacts with grim vengeance. This doesn't mean that we should not invest in houses, lots, stocks, and bonds, but the bonds of the righteous man shall be full. It means that we should not hoard even the principal. When it arises to circulate money, money is necessary in letting it go out fearlessly and cheerfully. It opens the way for far more to come in. For the love of God. Let me just say this right here. God is our unfailing and inexhaustible supply, not our source. God is our unfailing and inexhaustible supply, and it's our source. Our channels are not our source. Our jobs are our channel, but God is the source. See, this is spiritual attitude towards money, the great bank of the universal that never falls, that never fails, that never have recession. Catherine Parnell goes on to talk about an example of hoarding in a film production of a movie called Greed. The woman won $5,000 in the lottery but would not spend it. She hoarded and saved it and let her husband suffer and starve. And eventually she scrubbed floors for a living. She loved the money itself, put it above everything. And one night she was murdered and the money was taken from her. You see, this is an example where love of money is the root of evil. Money in itself is good and beneficial, but used for destructive purposes, hoarded and saved, but considered more important than love, brings disease and disaster and the loss of the money itself. Follow the path of love and all things are added. Follow the path of love and all things are added. For God is love and God is supply. Follow the path of selfishness and greed and the supply vanish. And then you become separated from the truth of who you are, abundant. Love and goodwill are invaluable in business. Catherine said a woman came to me complaining of her employer. She said she was cold and critical and knew she did not want her in the position. Well, I replied, to salute the divinity in this woman and send her love. She said, I can't. She's a marble woman. I answered, you remember the story of the sculptor who asked for a certain piece of marble? He was asked why he wanted it, and he replied, because there's an angel in the marble, and out of it he produced a wonderful work of art. She said, very well, I'll try it. A week later, she came back and said, I did what you told me to, and now the woman's very kind and took me out in her car. Sometimes people are filled with remorse for having done someone an unkindness, perhaps years ago. Sometimes people are holding on to things. Let it go. Let it go. Fear pictures vividly the disease or situation. Fear these things objectify, magnetize in your life. We got to deny all belief in anything other than the truth. Deny the belief in loss, belief in separation. Affirm that God is all there is. Our only job is God. Our only job is love, really. We are a perfect idea in the divine mind. We're always in the right place and always at the right time. We're divinely protected. One of the my favorite songs, the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. There shall no evil befall thee there, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. That's in the 91st Psalm. Perfect love casts out fear. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. I want you to think about the things we just talked about this morning and realize you have the power to create the life you desire. You have the power to shift, to get still, and know that you are God. Be still and call forth your miracle. Your miracle is in your mouth. And it doesn't matter whether you're traditional, whether you're New Thought, whether you're Muslim, it doesn't matter. See, people get caught up in all stuff that don't really matter. If you believe what you believe it and do your work. You can become anything you want to become with any of these religions, any of these thought patterns. All you have to do is take the best of it and do your work by working on your consciousness. If you don't, I know a lot of people on this line don't believe in Jesus because there wasn't no J back in the day or whatever reasons and all the stories we tell. It don't matter. If you believe in the consciousness of Christ, if you believe in Jesus and that's your, then do what you do to manifest. If you believe in Allah, do what you do to manifest. I'm not telling you how to believe in your religion. What I am telling you is how to believe in the presence that's in you, however you call it. You get the right to choose and you get the right to create. Now, how you name it, how you put the name on it. And what is another word? When we think about name in the Bible, it's just the nature. So when we think the nature of the Creator, whether we call the nature Allah, God, Jehovah, however we name it, the nature of this gift
this energy that created us and put all of itself inside of us is what? Good. It's divine. So how could you be anything other than that? How did a man who lived in poverty, slept homeless, become Reverend Ike one day and lived with and had 12 Rolls Royces? How did Father Divine pick cotton in a time where slavery was heightened and wake up one day, looked up at God because it was so hot, and said, why am I a slave? And God said, why are you a slave when you are a God? He went around saying he was a God. They put him in jail, in and out of jail, never asked for a tithe. Father Divine was the Reverend Ike of before Reverend Ike in the 1800s. Left the plantation, moved into New York, and had one of the biggest, finest churches of his time. And never asked for a tithe. Clarence Avant. Netflix, it's a movie called Clarence, the Black Godfather. This man in 1950s and 1960s was putting people in places that you would have never thought. White people, black people respected him in Hollywood, in the music industry. Short, dark-skinned, black man. When they had a big blowout with Universal and CBS and everybody's at the table, everybody asked, well, who was Clarence represents, they said Clarence represents love, and he was able to smooth out the situation with love, family. There's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't feel. And for every question, love is the answer. This morning, family. If you got a situation going on in your life, whatever's going on in your life, no matter what it is, financial, whatever it is, it comes from a belief. And how do you remove that belief? By operating in the energy of love. I know some, I'm telling you some that I know, not some I read about, not something that I heard about, not something somebody told me. If you use these principles, and let me tell you, I'm just going to share a few things with you. If you stay diligent, if you stay in a high vibration, some of you all know the new car I just got. I ain't getting no punk car either. I made a big stretch. We win according to our own faith. We buying a 5-bedroom house. And literally, my husband didn't even have no credit score. So I worked on his credit. And I've never seen it. But I worked on many people's credit. And I got it in documentation. I could place it on the Facebook if you need it, if you want to see it, just to prove it. Because I believe documentation beats conversation. His credit score went up 758 points in one day. In one day. Family. I got a contract on 30 acres of land. All this is happening is just so fast. Because what? Because of diligently doing your work. You got to let go. You got to have forgiveness. You can't do people any kind of way and think good going to come back to you. Put good out and good come back to you. Put favor out and favor come back to you. Be in the expression of God, but don't talk about it, but be about it. You can't say I love God, then treat people any kind of way, especially yourself. You can't do unkind acts to people and think favor's going to come back to you. You can't even hold on to unforgiveness. You know why? Because you don't got time for that. I'm working with myself right now because I'm being triggered with some stuff that I got to let go of. And every day I'm telling myself, Janine, you ain't got time to hold on to that kind of stuff. You don't got time to work through that kind of stuff. You got to let it go. I got, when it come up, I got to deal with it, but I got to honor it. But I know I got to let it go. Why? I ain't got time. I'm being so blessed. Why do I even got time to hold on to that? Our childhoods and all these things. Yes, let it go, family. I promise you. Forgiveness and love and gratitude. And I ain't talking about, oh, well, I did my forgiveness work. Well, I don't have anybody. If you, I hear people tell me that all the time. Oh, I love myself. Well, if you love yourself, you wouldn't be in lack. See, Dr. Dennis Kimbrell, in his book, John Johnson asked him why he wasn't a millionaire. He said, you can tell a lot about a person by their bank account. I didn't get it at first. I'm like, dad, that's a bold statement to say to somebody. So you're telling me you don't love yourself if your bank account? And let me tell you, it's true. When I still wasn't placing a value on me, when I still was holding on to stuff, when my bank account was fluctuating like crazy, it was getting better. But it wasn't there because, why? I still wasn't honoring me. And guess what? When I honor you, I'm honoring me. When I honor me, I'm honoring you. That means I won't do to you something that I won't do to myself. Family, let go of that fear. If that person that you did a relationship with 10 years ago in 1965, or you're in another relationship, or you keep finding yourself in the same pattern relationship, guess what? It's not the other person. It's not the other person. No matter how we want to keep calling the variable in the algebraic expression, there's a variable and there's a constant. In your algebraic expression, you are the constant. And everything else is the variable. And if the variable keeps showing up to the constant, guess what? You're only finding yourself. You're only reaching yourself. So let me tell you right now, you want change, then you got to change yourself. I want to change. I had to change myself. I woke up that November before I got on the prayer line and said, you know, I got to do something different if I want something different. If I want more love, I got to be the love. If I want more money, I got to be the money. If I want whatever I want, I got to be what it is that I want to bring into my experience. And so what I did, because I wanted to change my relationship with money, I put all my money on the bed and I sat with my money. And I asked my money, how can I experience more of you? How can I experience more of you? Not to just be a blessing for me, which I do want money to be a blessing for me, but I want to be a blessing to those around me. What can I do? And I actually wrote money a letter, dear money. I appreciate what your energy do when you're in my space. And I just started doing my work. We can't keep talking about it and not be about it. Hey, baby, we can't do that. And I'm done. I'm not going to keep going. That's what I wanted to talk about today. And I'm telling you, the best thing we can do is love ourselves. Love ourselves right into the space that we want to be in. Okay, I love you. We got to love ourselves right into the space we want to be in. That means we got to love our mind. We got to love us where we are. We just, when we find ourselves in some spaces that we don't, stop and do a love meditation and get back into the love vibration. If you don't like something and you don't like how it's showing up, then ask your consciousness, what is in this right now moment, what is it that the divine is expressing to me right now? What is it that I need to learn so that I don't have to experience this again? Because we don't have to keep repeating the same stuff. We don't. We don't have to suffer to learn, family. We do not have to suffer to learn. We can learn with ease, elegance, and grace. Be patient with yourself. Love yourself. And know love truly is the answer. Love truly is the answer. Family, your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. Remember, don't just live, but dream. Don't just dream, but live your God-sized dreams, family. And remember, the truth lives in the soul. I just want you to know, with everything in my heart, you know, this is the place where I have to get better and better at, because sometimes I think of my children or people I love, and I've been doing better. I love people so much sometimes that I just want to just like shake them and put this stuff in them, but I know it takes time for us all to get there. Family, you don't have to suffer to live a great life to get to the other side. You just got to be true, authentic, and love who you are. I love you, family. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Can't hide love.
Run and hide.